All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Octagon 41, which goes down on April 15th, and it is listed as the co-main event as a light heavyweight clash when Carlos Vemola and Al Matavao get out there and test skills. And great getting to have Al on the show for the very first time. How's everything going there, Al?
Hey, man, everything is going good, man. Training is going good. Everything is going good, man.
Yeah, and it seems like you have some, you know, good momentum as of late, just like riding back-to-back wins under the Octagon banner. And I mean, seemed like you kind of like redirected the course. I mean, not that you were set back hugely, but just in the sense of losing the promotional debut, but now back-to-back wins within Octagon. Like, have you, I guess, found that traction within Octagon and found your footing, you think?
Yeah, you know what? I just had to adjust a little bit of my training, you know, some of the coaching staff that I have. And I think that's what made a big difference from the first fight until the second fight and then the third fight. You know, it was just that's what just my training camp.
Yeah, and just on a specific level, like what kind of adjustments did you make? Because as far as like listed spaces you train, I mean, I'm seeing Legacy Jiu-Jitsu and Foot Soldiers, Muay Thai, like those seem to be places that at least the aggregators are listing you were training at. Like, is that still the case, or whereabouts have you moved your preparations to?
Yeah, you know, my last few fights, you know, I flew out of Anchorage and I went to Vegas, you know, I went to New Mexico, Jackson Wink to get some training in, and I went to Extreme Couture in Vegas to get some training in, and you know, that made a little bit of a big difference in my training camp, and just everything that I went through just made a big difference. Just like I had to change up my fight camp and everything. And yes, I'm still training under the same affiliates.
And is that cross training kind of like a bit of a newer thing for you? Like, you're talking about maintaining the, you know, training at the same spaces in a certain sense, but talking about like, you know, traveling outside. Is the cross training a relatively newer thing you've added into the preparations?
Yes, absolutely. I don't know why I didn't do this a long time ago, but that is something that I got myself into just to benefit myself.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, you know, seems to be serving that master for sure. It's probably good to, I mean, you're getting great looks at the local gym, but just in the certain sense of getting different looks, like not necessarily better or worse per se, but just like getting in those different gyms and just, you know, trying out different things. I would think it would be good in that kind of regard.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I love to hear that that's, you know, panning out for you in that kind of way. And I'm kind of curious, like, what are your thoughts on, you know, this particular bout, like, and as far as like what was the, I guess, temperament and initial kind of set of feelings when this bout offer initially came your way? Because I mean, a lot of people are calling this guy one of the bigger, if not the biggest, MMA star out of Czech Republic and everything like that. Like, what was the initial, I guess, set of thoughts when this bout offer came your way?
When a name came across me, I honestly didn't know who he was. And of course, when I looked him up, and then he kind of looked familiar because I've been following, you know, MMA, UFC since, I don't know, forever. But when he came across me, I saw it as an opportunity, so I took it. Everything that comes my way is an opportunity to me to be better and move up the ladder in any shape and form. And then having to get a win over Carlos, it's going to be a big step for me.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. Like, it seems like
it's really a great opportunity that I saw that I know I can take on, and knowing that I can win the fight. He is a big star in Czech Republic, but that doesn't make any difference for me. It doesn't matter who stands in front of me. It's just another human being.
Yeah, I mean, well said. It just seems like there's, I guess, a lot of upside in this fight. Like, it seems like some people are almost, like, kind of slating you as an underdog almost. So I would think that a win like that would, you know, be quite beneficial to what you're doing and all.
Yeah, it'll be good for it'll be good for me though.
And it's kind of an interesting landscape a little bit, because I was also noticing your opponent, Carlos Vemola, is also set to vie for, you know, the Octagon middleweight title and everything like that. And it doesn't seem to be, you know, terribly long after this fight. Like, what do you think about all that? That seems kind of interesting. It doesn't seem like it's going to be transpiring really that long after, like around a month or so. So what do you, I guess, perceive about that?
It's a little bit of disrespectful, because now he's pretty much, he oversees me. So that motivates me to put him out. Because if he's just going to look over me just to plan for his title fight in May, I will have to finish him.
And it's kind of interesting, because from the promotional material, it seems to be like a non-title sort of collision, but just, I mean, it being a catch weight and stuff like that, I suppose, but just kind of interesting with him being the light heavyweight champion as well, like in talking about how he's looking to vie for the middleweight title. It's like he still has accolades at 205. Like, if you get the desired outcome here, would the, I guess, thing to be parlaying that into a title fight thereafter, is that what you're thinking? I would imagine that would be the thought process.
Yeah, I don't really know their intentions, though. I think that they look at me as in, you know, just a body bag, just to throw at Carlos, just to get another win, you know, before his title fight. And so, I don't know what's going on, but it's just, you know, it's a disrespect to the whole division, you know? I'm, like, literally not even in the top 10 of the division, and they picked me to fight Carlos. Like, why didn't they pick any of the top 10 to fight Carlos? But since that made me think that I'm just a body bag, they're just going to throw in there and have him win just to get another win. Supposedly, quote-unquote, his warm-up fight. But there's no such thing as a warm-up fight to me. A fight is a fight. You stand in front of me, I will knock you out.
I was going to say, it seems like this is very much emboldening what you're doing. Like, I imagine you're very motivated in general, but just the idea of, you know, a chip being on one's shoulder, is that kind of the case for this one?
Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
I mean, I guess it's kind of exciting in a way, too, because obviously you understand what you bring to the table, and it represents, like, a really unique opportunity in a lot of regards, so do you kind of, like, see that part of it as well? I mean, it's kind of interesting, because I definitely, you know, get what you're laying down in a certain sense, but I feel like there's a tremendous amount of upside in this one as well that could potentially, you know, positively affect what you're doing for even the rest of the calendar year, possibly. So are you kind of allowing yourself to think about that at all, or is it more of just, like, a blinders on, just focus on the immediate task at hand thing?
Well, right now, you know, to answer the first question, like, it is exciting, you know, to know that they picked me. So it's an honor, and I'm excited for it. And for down the road, you know, he might not be able to fight Nate, because if I put him out, he's gonna have to get a 30-day, 60-day suspension, you know. So that give other people an opportunity to step up to fight for the title. So. Call me again. I don't shy away from any match.
Yeah, definitely get that impression for sure. But we've been talking about some of the almost more narrative kind of elements leading into this fight. But in terms of the X's and O's of, you know, what your opponent does in the cage, like, what do you think he really does well? And I guess speaking to the resume partly too, because, you know, 4 first round finishes across the last 7 wins, or the last 5 wins, rather, it looks like. So what are the thoughts on, I guess, his resume overall, but in terms of, like, stylistically, like, what do you think he does well out there?
I mean, when I looked up his resume, he had a pretty good wins over a lot of good names and good fighters, you know? But it still doesn't take away the fact that he's a one-dimensional fighter. He's only a wrestler. Like, he doesn't do anything special. He's not very special. He's just a wrestler, like a bodybuilder wrestler that will just bull rush you, take you down, try to skin issue on the ground. Like, what's so exciting about that? You know, people are coming over. People are coming to the arena to watch a fight. And so what I'm bringing to the table is a fight, not a wrestling match. Because if I want to wrestle, then I'll pick him to wrestle me. But he's a one-dimensional fighter. Like, there's nothing very special about him. He's very one-dimensional fighter. He's just nothing that will stop me from finishing Carlos on April 15th. Because I got more technique. I'm a better fighter overall. Just because I know a lot of people are talking about the fight with Pirate. But I don't make no excuse. But Pirate, yeah, he did took me down for two rounds, but he never finished me. But it's just because of the way that went. I got very fatigued afterwards, so I was just trying to stay alive in the fight pretty much. But with Carlos, there's very nothing special about him. Like, Pirate, it's a better fighter than him.
I was going to say, it's interesting. I mean, you talk about the fatigue from, you know, that particular weight cut, and it seems like you've amended things since then to kind of account for that. I guess the whole idea of, like, weight divisions is, you know, a bit of a curious one for you, because you're a former, you know, 205er who's got titles with Alaska FC and X1 out in Hawaii previously, but also been at 185 for the last few, and this next one kind of being a catch weight. I guess to that point, like, what does the path look like going forward in a divisional kind of sense? Are you mostly thinking you'll continue in that more recent 185 kind of direction, or could 205 also present some options if certain bouts, you know, kind of pique your interest, I guess?
Well, after this one, the goal is, you know, to keep going down. So the goal is fight at 85 again and then move down to 70. Guys, you know, I don't know if anybody watched any of my last few fights. You know, my LFA fight, my Dana White Contender Series fight, like, all these guys are bigger than me, and I'm the smallest 205. So I'm just trying to get lower to where I'm more comfortable fighting somebody my size. Because even some of these 85ers, I don't care how big they are, I'll fight anyone. But for my benefit, I'm trying to go down weight, you know, just to be beneficial.
And I was going to say, how are you, I guess, navigating that? I would think that a level of, I guess, dietary consideration and maybe even a bit of a change to the strength and conditioning regimen would probably be part of that. But what specifically are you doing to facilitate dropping to lower weight classes?
Just the diet and the different kind of training, you know? I picked up CrossFit not too long ago. That helped me a lot to drop down weight for this fight and make me stronger. You know, I don't fatigue when I'm, you know, after training. You know, I just got done with an hour training just now, and I feel pretty good, man. Like, just having to change up my diet a little bit. You know, where I'm from, food is everything, man. Rice, Spam, like, any fast food, bro. Like, that's why it's kind of hard for me to drop weight. But I make no excuse. But where I'm from is, it's everything is food. You know, if I had to introduce anyone to my culture, I'd introduce them with food first.
So what has the diet kind of shifted to then, large in part? Is it anything you can, you know, kind of derive some enjoyment from a little bit? Or is it kind of just like, you know, it is what it is? It's like serving, you know, a means kind of thing. Like, it's like a utility-based kind of diet. Like, are you finding some, you know, fun ways to, I guess, still enjoy what you're eating, but also facilitate dropping to lower weight classes?
Yeah, man. I'm really not strictly just cutting, like, a lot of things out. You know, I'm still eating perfectly fine on the regular meal, my three meals a day. I'm eating what I like, you know, and I'm dropping weight. And so, but, you know, like, before, like, I'll have, like, three meals a day, but just big portions, you know what I mean? I'm a big guy, and I intake a lot. And so having to just adjust that part of my diet just a little bit, not having a lot of big portions, that changed a lot. Made a big difference.
Yeah, and whenever I talk to fighters, I'm always very curious about, you know, the backstory to the nickname and just, you know, who gave it to them, what inspired it, etc. And I'm noticing your nickname, at least circa around your Dana White Contender Series fight, was Sweetness. I'm kind of curious as to the origins of the nickname there and all.
So the backstory of it, so me and a couple of my friends were out and about having dinner after I won the title here in Alaska. We went out and eat, and you know, I didn't order food at first. The first thing I ordered, everyone was ordering their entrees, and the first thing I ordered was a chocolate cake. And so as we were eating, and all my friends like calling me, "Oh, here we go, Mr. Sweetness." And so that's how that name became. It was like, everywhere I go, I always have to eat sweets first before I eat my entrees.
That's just always been a thing for you, eh?
Yeah, I'm a sweet tooth, man. I grew up, that's all I eat, man. It's a lot of sweets, man.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I can definitely, you know, get down a little bit in that regard, but also really shows like the discipline that you've adopted recently. And as far as like, you know, changing the diet and just really wanting to make that run in lower weight classes. I guess I'm kind of curious because you're kind of talking about how like with time, you're kind of like, oh, I'm one of the smaller guys at 205. I should probably navigate things a little better. Was there like a distinct moment where you felt you realized that, like maybe you needed to make those certain amendments, I guess?
Yeah, you know, after I won the 205 title fight, the title here in Alaska, man, like, I was like, man, I'm comfortable at this weight. But the word comfortable didn't set with me, so I had to, like, get out of my comfort zone and move down to 85, and that's when I did the move to go down to 85. Because it's always been 205. I started off in heavyweight. I fought at 250. Then I went down to 205. But, you know, knowing that I had a lot of disadvantage in the reach when I'm fighting everyone at 205, that made me change my mindset. I was like, I have to change this. I have to go a lower weight. But then I went on 85, and I fought in LFA, and I fought Gregory. And he's a 6'4", tall-ass dude. So it didn't make any big difference to my mindset, because even 85ers are big and tall. But it all comes down to training and techniques on how to approach the fight.
And I guess I just had a couple kind of questions as we're wrapping up, not necessarily fight-related, but just curious all the same, because I was reading a profile on you a bit before your foray on Contender Series, and you were kind of talking about how at one point you were working for, you know, Coca-Cola Bottling of Alaska, but also seemed like you were, you know, getting in a bit of work with a full-time job at the time at Nabisco in Anchorage, Alaska, and you were saying, who wants Oreos? Like, are you still working, like, jobs on the side to facilitate what you're doing with MMA, or not so much?
I still work a full-time job. I used to work for Coke full-time fighting. Back then, that's when I got the belt, and I worked for Oreo, and I was still fighting. And, you know, now I got a different job, full-time, still fighting. You know, I'm just trying to make it big before I make a big decision of quitting on a job and going full-time, because, you know, I got bills to pay, so.
Yeah, I mean, fair enough, and definitely an expensive endeavor to be a fighter, just like, you know, paying the people training you and, you know, taxes, and, I mean, we could really go on. I mean, I definitely, you know, get what you're talking about in a sense, but something I also noticed in that feature that I was curious to, you know, maybe even get a bit of an update on, because you were saying that you were enrolled at UAA and looking to start your first college course in the fall of 2020. So, you know, how has that progressed? Like, what have you been doing with that? Like, what kind of, you know, program are you in? And just looking for some insights on that, if possible.
I did my first year, and it was good until, you know, financially wise, I wasn't able to pay for college. So with the full-time job, full-time training, and I was trying to do part-time college. And so I did my first year, and then I had to stop because I wasn't able to pay for college. But I was trying to major in kinesiology, so mostly like physical training, PT, physical trainers, and stuff like that. Just kind of like in the category that I'm at.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully something you can pick up at a different juncture if you're, you know, so inclined to. It sounds like something that you would, you know, be into for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that can, you know, pan out and everything like that, but definitely an interesting journey leading you up to this point and everything, and it's been great getting to talk to you a little bit on the show, Al, and I appreciate you know, making time and being so good with your schedule and all, but I do want to be mindful of your time and what you're looking to get up to the rest of the day, that being said. So is there any kind of final, you know, parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up, man?
What was the question again?
Oh, just if there's anything you'd maybe want to add as like a final kind of parting thought as we're wrapping things up here.
No, man. Actually, well, I just want to, first of all, I'd like to, you know, thank you for having me on the podcast, man. And I'm just excited for this fight, man. I feel like there's something bigger coming my way, and it starts with Carlos, you know? So I'm excited for this fight, and I can't wait to go out there and perform the best in my ability to show people what kind of fighter I am and what kind of person I am, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great opportunity in many regards. Definitely a very compelling fight against Carlos Vemola coming up, and very much excited to peep Octagon 41 and see everything on April 15th. And I appreciate you coming on the show and giving such great insights before that, Al. Hopefully the first of many appearances, but until then, you have a good rest of your day there, man.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you having me on the show, and you have a great rest of your day, too.